Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we are back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And our phone number is 888-822-8255. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And let me tell you who our special guest is. He's been with us several times before. His name is John Fox. John is an attorney specializing in tax, corporate, and financial planning. He's a lecturer and a writer on U.S. tax history and policy. He is a member of the law firm of Sherman, Meehan, Curtin, and Ain out of Washington, D.C., but most of the time he spends as a professor at Mount Holyoke College in South Hadley, Massachusetts, where he teaches taxation and the values of democracy. And he is currently writing a book, which we've talked a little bit about on the show before, and we'll try to coax him into talking a little bit about it today, which he has given us the opportunity to help him develop a title for the book. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit, but mostly today I think we're going to talk about retirement plans. He's a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust and a good friend of ours. John, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. Glad to be back with you.
It's always a pleasure to have you with us. How's everything in South Hadley?
Well, if you could hear, I don't know that you could hear the wind, but we're having a huge windstorm this morning. But otherwise, it's supposed to be sunny and beautiful tomorrow. And when I go over, as you know, going over to South Hadley from Amherst, it's a beautiful drive, and Mount Holyoke College has been voted the most beautiful college in all of the nation by U.S. News and World Report. So it's just a pleasure to go over there.
It's a beautiful part of the world. I was up there in, I think it was February. 1 year, and it wasn't as pretty as I know it can be, because I've been in that part of the world in late September, and that's when it's the most beautiful.
Yes, well, February, I mean, if there isn't snow on the ground, it can be a little cold, but
it wasn't just cold, it was just kind of bleak, but
yeah,
and gray, John, let's talk about some things that I know that are on your mind, and that is pension plans, retirement planning for small business owners. And I appreciate you helping us to talk about that today. Why don't you just get started? I know you've got some things on your mind. I told my audience that in addition to talking about retirement plans for small business and the way they can do that, that you always introduce a little bit of politics into it, which I think adds a little extra flavor.
Well, let me begin just with the problem as I see it. And that is that that Americans simply aren't saving enough for retirement. And it's a very serious problem, because we're going to be living longer and longer. Who knows what our life expectancy will be in 20 or 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saving less as a population than we did 20 years ago. For example, 20 years ago, American households saved about 7% of their disposable income. Today we save less than 1%. It's gone down that much.
Well, let me ask you to define saving for me, because I hear what you're saying, but are you including investing?
Including, as you know,
more Americans are in the stock market than ever before.
Well, there are more Americans in the stock market than before, and principally they're in it through their individual retirement accounts or pension plan accounts.
Yeah. Yeah. But is that not saving?
That's saving.
So you include that in your.
Well, the statistics vary. For example, the statistics. Some statistics include retirement plan savings. Some don't. And most of the statistics don't include the equity in your house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
But in your 1%, when you say less than 1% are saving, are you including the investment?
I'm not counting their pension fund.
Okay, all right.
But less than half of Americans participate in a retirement plan. Employer-sponsored retirement plan.
Okay, so you're saying of the people who are eligible, or just that's how many
who are workers?
Are left out?
Take the entire workforce,
mm-hmm.
and less than half of that workforce participates in a retirement plan.
And what are some of the reasons why those, that 50%, the 50% of the workforce would not be covered by or would not have a retirement plan?
It's a great question, and you begin with eliminate the public sector where there's a very high percentage.
Mm-hmm.
But 83% of the workforce is in the private sector. And of that, in that private sector, about 43% of the workforce participates. And you begin with the rule that no employer has to adopt a retirement plan. So unlike Social Security, which is mandatory for private employers,
right,
each employer has the right to choose whether or not he or she wants a retirement plan,
right,
or it wants a retirement plan. And your listeners know, the people in small business know that relatively few of them adopt plans. For example, I saw a statistic the other day that said that something like 57% of workers who work for firms with 1,000 or more employees participate in a plan,
mm-hmm,
but 5% of workers who work in firms with under 10 employees participate in a plan.
I can believe the under 10 scenario, but I would say that let me throw out another statistic for you that you may have or may not, and that is that approximately 60% of all employees in America work for small business.
Well, that's right.
About 73 million.
So you see, that's the problem because if the small business can't afford or doesn't elect to adopt a retirement plan,
right,
all those small businesses spread out throughout the country means that a lot of employees aren't getting the opportunity to participate.
Well, obviously, I care about employees in America being able to have a retirement plan if it's at all possible, but I also have to speak for that employer of the 10 or less employees that you're talking about, and what would you have them do? Let's say that I've got this business that has 9 employees, counting myself. What would you have me do?
Well, I think that when you say that that you're looking after the employer, my professional life, I've been representing employers, so we share that interest.
Right.
And that
I know that.
And so it is to begin with a business decision. In other words, can they afford to set up a retirement plan?
Yeah. Stand by, John. That's the music. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. John Fox and I will be right back. All right. We are back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. And got a couple of things I want to go over some more of my trivia questions. John Fox, by the way, is our special guest. He's with us, and we're talking about pension plans, retirement plans for small business owners and their employees. I want to remind you about my trivia questions because I want to send you a copy of Ken Lebo's book, 300 Incredible Things to Do on the Internet. Here are my trivia questions. What is Vermont known as? It's this state. It's got its nickname. What is the nickname for Vermont? Also, Maurice Ravel was born on this day. He's a great composer. He composed a work that actually was featured in the movie 10. Tell me what that name of that great work was, musical work. Also, Antonio Vivaldi was a great Baroque violinist and composer. And I want to know, he produced something that had 4 components. I want to know what the name of that great work is that he composed. Also, Newt Rockne was born on this day. I want to know, he was a football coach and player. I want to know what college, what university he is associated with. 888-822-8255. Answer one of my trivia questions, and we'll send you a copy of Ken Lebo's book, 300 Incredible Things to Do on the Internet. Also, John and I would like to talk to you about what kind of a pension plan you've introduced to your company, or what you're thinking about, or what you would like to provide for your company. John, you and I have been talking about this, and I don't know any small business owner that wouldn't like to provide a retirement plan for their employees. They just may not be able to afford it. And the reason that there are 2 reasons why small business owners want to provide retirement plans for their employees. Number one, because it's the right thing to do. And number two, from a competition standpoint, the marketplace is a tough place to find employees these days. And you've got to be competitive, and the only way to be competitive is through some benefits.
Well, I agree. And it's very interesting because part of the reason that small businesses don't adopt these plans is that they're concerned about the administrative costs as well as the actual cost of contributing. But part of it has to do with, and it's something we've talked about before, is, and it's true about so many of us, we're inclined to postpone saving.
Mm-hmm.
That is, we're inclined to put it off. And I remember even in my own practice, in my own law firm, when I was setting up all these plans when I was very young for employees, and we didn't have a plan in our firm. And my partner came to me and said, John, you're telling all these clients to set up these plans. How come we don't have one? And I was young and thinking I was going to live forever, and I'd begin saving at a later date. So why not wait? And he said, why don't we do it? And we did. And, of course, I'm grateful that we did.
Yeah.
One of the things that that employers, small business people, need to know is that they could set up a retirement plan, and they could have something called a profit-sharing plan. And if they don't have profits or they don't want to contribute in a particular year, they don't have to contribute.
I see. So that's very important information
really,
to know.
Yeah, it's very important because they don't want to be in a position that if the year is bad or they want to invest in new trucks or new inventory or something, that they've got to put in a contribution for their employees.
Well, it doesn't have to be a profit-sharing plan either for you to set up a retirement plan for your employees, does it?
No, but the profit-sharing plan, which actually says that that you contribute out of your profits, so you don't technically have to even under that. What the profit-sharing plan allows you to do is to vary the contribution each year depending upon what you want to contribute.
Right.
Whereas a pension plan, as we think of it, is a fixed commitment. It could be 1% of employee payroll. It could be 3%. It can be as much as 25% of employee payroll.
But, John, there's also another level that's actually, and I hate to use the word below that, but at a simpler level, and that is just making withholding and available to your employees to put into a plan, like to do withholding for IRAs or something like that.
That's right, and that's
I'm just trying to think of how to get our small business owner started out there without thinking. In other words, if let's say he's just marginally profitable, he can't afford to contribute to his employees, but he says, okay, I would like to get them started saving for their retirement, so I'll help them with this basic capability.
And you can put a plan into effect. In fact, you can do it through brokerage houses, through mutual funds. They'll set it up for you, and it's called a 401k plan. I'm sure most of your listeners have heard about that.
Right.
And that doesn't commit the employer to any contribution unless the employer wants to commit to it.
Right.
So it's just what you said. It's a plan that says to employees that you can contribute a portion of your salary free of tax. So that.
Yeah. And I withhold it and manage and make sure it gets to the right place. John, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks,
sure.
29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. All right. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend, John Fox. He's a professor at Mount Holyoke College. He's an expert in tax issues and spends a lot of time working with small businesses and with doing their financial planning, doing tax planning, and he is the resident tax attorney of the Small Business Advocate Show. And our phone number is 888-822-8255. We'd like to hear from you. If you have a question about your retirement plan, your pension plan that you've got with your company, if you have a question that you'd like to ask John, we got one of the experts with us right now, or if you'd like to talk about just the idea of what we're talking about, and you agree or disagree with us, John. One of the things that you were talking earlier about the limited number of people who are saving these days. I don't know about the younger generation, but my generation, which grew up in the '60s and late 50s, 60s, and early 70s, sort of started their career and their families in the 70s. We grew up in a very inflationary time, and there was no incentive to saving. Number one, whatever yield you had on savings was taxed very heavily. Number two, by the time you saved for anything, like for a home or for a car or something like that, by the time you saved up enough to have bought it, inflation had driven the price right out of sight again. And so we wound up borrowing money. We wound up being a generation of debtors, I should say. And so that, I think that's contributed to the fact that we are such a great consumer society. When I say great, I don't mean that necessarily in the positive sense.
I think so too, and I think that the credit card has transformed us from being able to borrow by having to go to a bank, and now we can borrow just off our credit card. But now we're in a period of very low inflation. We are in a much more attractive period for savings. And it is so important that we understand how valuable it is to save just a little bit every day. For example, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show, but I tell my students that I take the example of a student who's going to be 22 when she leaves Mount Holyoke College. I say, if you're able to save, that's a lot of money, but $1,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
but take $1,000 a year and save it from age 22 to age 65, so you set aside $1,000 a year for 44 years. You've set aside $44,000 over that time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get the stock market rate of return of 10% a year on that money, by the time you're 65, it'll be worth $650,000.
Mm.
If you did it with $2,000, you'd have $1,300,000. If you and your spouse did, you'd have $2,600,000. But the important lesson is to begin early, and that's why when I talk to the owners of businesses, I say to them, first of all, how many employees do you have? If you want a 401k plan, which we talked about, which is a little more complicated to administer, your employees can contribute. If you want a very simple profit-sharing plan, you need to contribute for employees who've been employed for more than a year and are working more than 1,000 hours a year. But there can be forfeiture provisions so that if they leave within 6 years or 7 years, they'll forfeit a portion or all of what's been set aside.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to know how much will be set aside for the employer, for the owner, as well as for the employees. But it's important to get them to be thinking about their long-term savings, because I've got a lot of clients who have saved very well, and other clients who've just been reluctant to save. They've spent, in, you know, the generation that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They've spent and spent and spent, and they've earned a lot of money, but they've set aside relatively little of that for retirement, and they have large mortgages on their houses. So, the message that I'm trying to convey is that along with consuming, we ought to be thinking as employers as well as workers about trying to set aside something out of every paycheck.
One of the things that I've tried to instill in my children is don't consume as much with the money that you've earned. Save and invest the money that you've earned for a little while. Defer your gratification just for a while, just for maybe just a few years, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years. But if you're in your 20s, you deferred some of your gratification, and then the things that you wanted to have that were sort of extravagances, you bought those things with the earnings from your investments.
Well, it's a great message, and
you leave the equity. You leave your capital intact.
And Jim, I will bet that habits are habits. We know them. We have good habits and bad habits. If your children listen to you, and they have deferred, they've learned how to defer some gratifications. They get into the habit of that, and once they've done it, once they're in their mid-20s, their late-20s, they'll be earning more money, they'll continue to save something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they will have developed the habit of saving. I was talking to a young kid who was helping me install my computer yesterday, and he asked me about a Roth IRA. And he was amazed. He had no idea. He earns a nice little living. He's a University of Massachusetts student.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, look, you could set aside in a Roth IRA up to $2,000 of your earnings each year. He lives on nothing, so he could do it. I said to him, you won't get a deduction for that, but under the Roth IRA, everything that accumulates there is tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to give him the numbers that I've just mentioned, and he said, what can I do with that money? I said, you can invest it however you want, in the stock market, mutual funds, any legitimate investment, he was thrilled by it.
John, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 39 after the hour. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. John Fox is our special guest. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to get John to tell us about the simplest form, which is a self-employment plan for small business owners, SEP. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate, And our special guest is John Fox, and our phone number is 888-822-8255 if you'd like to give us a call and weigh in on this discussion. We're talking about retirement plans. One of the things, John, that I've been doing lately is I've been working with a financial planner on the show to help my audience understand how to work with financial planners.
Well, that's very valuable, particularly if you have a good financial planner.
Well, Rick Pinion does a good job, and he's been with us a couple of times. He's going to be back, and he's been helping us to understand. What we've been starting out doing is just focusing on how to deal with the financial planner, what to look for, who to look for, those kinds of things. And as we go through future visits with him, we're going to get into a little bit more of that, how to actually implement. This guy's where the rubber meets the road. You know, he and the other folks in his industry are the guys who are actually helping people administer these plans. But let's start out, John. Let's go back to the person who is just a self-employed person, one company, one employee, and that's him or her.
Well, that's the best, that's the easiest situation, because they can set up what is called a SEP plan, a self-employment plan,
mm-hmm.
a SEP IRA. And the IRS provides you a model form. You just adopt it. You don't file anything with the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
You simply say, I sign on to this form. And then you can set aside up to 15% of your wages, up to taking wages up to $160,000 into account. So you can put in over $20,000 if you're
right.
earning enough.
And it's a self-directed plan.
It's a self-directed. It goes into an individual retirement account with whatever mutual fund or brokerage house or
mm-hmm.
insurance company that you want.
Up to 15% of your earnings, up to a maximum earnings of 100 and how much?
You can take up to $160,000 of compensation into account this year.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, 10% of that, 16,000, 15% is over 20, is about 22.5 or so.
You had to elect that for 98 benefit. You had to elect it in 98, didn't you?
Yeah. Well,
it's too late to start one for tax year 98, right?
That's right.
But if you had elected it the end of December, you'd have until you filed your return to actually fund it, wouldn't you?
To actually fund it. And if you get an extension of time for filing the return, which you automatically get for 6 months, you really have 8.5 months till after the end of your fiscal year to put the money in.
To decide how much money you can right.
Or to actually fund it.
Yeah, exactly. Now let's go to the next level. Now we're talking about the employer who's got a small company, 8 or 10 employees, and he's got a little revenue. Maybe he's starting to be a little bit profitable, but he's still a little undercapitalized, or she's still just a little bit nervous about her working capital, and she's putting everything she can back into her company, and she's not ready to quite contribute to the employee's retirement, but she wants to provide them with a mechanism for them to save on their own, hoping that down the road, a year or five or whatever down the road, her company can actually start contributing to their plan. What do they need to set up?
Well, they also can set up a SEP IRA, but this one will be with a 401k feature.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be the same arrangement. It's a little more complicated with the plan because there isn't a boilerplate. You need to make a few more elections. But this allows the employees to contribute. They can contribute different amounts, and the amounts go into their own IRA so that the employer doesn't have to worry about investing the funds. The employer doesn't have to give a report mm-hmm. to the employee.
Right.
You get rid of all the administrative costs effectively. I mean, very minor administrative
basically
costs.
Basically, what you're doing is it's a little bit of a just one step up from being a Christmas Club account.
Yeah.
But you are withholding. And, folks, what's happening is you are taking the discipline factor out of their hands. If they say, all they've got to do is have the discipline to say, I want to do this, they sign up for it, and that way they it's sort of like withholding taxes. You never see it.
You never see it, and they
never get your hands on it.
There'll be social on the 401k part, there is Social Security taken out, but otherwise there's no income tax on that.
Mm-hmm.
So the employees know that their contributions are free of income tax. And then once they're in the IRA, they can invest in whatever stocks and bonds and
right.
mutual funds they want. And so they control, the individual employee controls it. The employer doesn't have to worry about being a fiduciary and having to invest the funds for these employees.
And one of the things, that we like to do is we like to get excited about things. Americans like to get excited about things because we like to get excited about buying a new car or buying a new house or buying a new suit or whatever it might be, going on vacation. But what would really be great if more of us did this would be if we could see our employees and Americans get excited about getting a return on their investment and then being able to enjoy life through the fruits of their investments rather than their earnings.
And I think that's so important, Jim. I have some clients who every year get up and talk to their employees about the importance of savings. They have 401k plans, and they bring out charts. They may have a guest speaker, somebody who promotes these things, but somebody who really can show them, look, if you'll put aside a little bit every year, what it can add up to, and if you don't start doing it until later in life, how much more difficult it is to save, and get them excited about the idea, not just of consuming in life and having another car or another television set, but they're really proud of having set aside money for their retirement or for emergencies or eventually to hand on to their children and grandchildren.
Absolutely. John, stand by. We're going to take a break, folks. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're going to be right back with John Fox. Stay with us. All right, we are back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend John Fox, a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. And we've been talking about pension plans and the importance of savings, of saving money and investing and for your retirement. And we've been talking a little bit about how to do all that. And John, we were just talking about the person who has a 8 or 9 or 10 employees and how they could get started out helping their employees to start saving for retirement through a retirement plan. And now this same person, their business has grown, their employees have worked hard, and now this lady who owns this business has instead of having 8 employees, she now has 16 or 20 employees. Her sales have doubled, and she cannot do without her employees. They're so critical to her business, and she says, okay, I want to make sure that I keep them, and one of the ways I want to do this, they've helped me to be profitable, I want to start contributing from the company into the retirement plan. So let's take her from that simple plan where she was simply withholding into a contributory plan.
And that's very easy to do. She adopts a profit-sharing component that says that the company each year will decide to contribute an amount out of her profits, out of the company's profits. Again, it's up to her to decide how much, so she doesn't have to commit to it. But let's say that she wants to contribute something like 3 or 4% of the participant's salary, and she can do that. And she puts it in. It's free of Social Security taxes, so she doesn't have to pay Social Security taxes, the employer's part, and the employee doesn't have to pay. Mm-hmm. And the amount goes in as a deduction for her. It's all free of tax for the employees until they take it out. And one of the things she knows is that if an employee doesn't stay very long, she can adopt a vesting schedule that says, for example, there's 5-year cliff vesting. If the employee isn't employed for 5 years or longer, the employee can lose their entire amount. It can be a graduated vesting schedule over 7 years.
I was going to ask you about that. Or could you say, after 5 years, you're 50% vested. After 10 years, you're...
No, you have two choices now. It used to be you had more. You can either adopt the cliff vesting, which says that nothing for 5 years, and then 100% at the end of 5 years, or that you have to invest over 7 years. For professional corporations, over 6 years. Excuse me. And so after 2 years, you have 20% vested, 3 years, 30%, et cetera. So you decide. In a case where there's a lot of employee turnover, often they have the 5-year cliff vesting.
Right.
So it allows them to reward their long-term employees, and those that they've contributed for who leave will not take much with them.
John, I've got 1 minute. For people who, for someone who has core management, but their rank and file employees turn over a lot, how can you take care of that core management and the term to use is discriminate?
Well, the general rule is that contributions are supposed to be in ratio to compensation. So the core people presumably have gotten higher compensation, and you can give them more because 5% of their higher salary is going to be more.
Right.
But you can also do something that I'll just mention here called integrating with Social Security, and it allows a special additional amount to be given to higher compensated employees. It's complicated, but it allows you to favor
but it
them.
But it is possible in those situations. Yeah, okay. John, you've done a great job. Thank you very much for being with us today. It's always a pleasure to have you with us, and looking forward to getting you back on the show again.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's my pleasure.
Thank you, sir. See you later.
Okay.
All right, folks, got to wrap it up. That's John Fox, the professor at Mount Holyoke University. He's a great resource for us, and we appreciate his time. Right now, I want to thank my heroes, the most important members of my show, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.